And we're going to turn to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5 in our Bibles. John chapter number 5, if you would please. John chapter number 5, as we are talking about differences among Christians defending the faith, in particular in this area of study, to other people that we might count as brothers and sisters in Christ, as they believe the same in about salvation, but we would not count them as, we would differ with them on some secondary doctrinal issue. And we talked about last week a difference in baptism, that some people differ with us in our view of baptism. And this week we're going to talk about eternal security, or whether someone is once saved is always saved. John chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at the Word of God, to strive to comprehend what it teaches, and to determine in our own minds and hearts a doctrinal position on these important subjects. Father, we do pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding and discernment as we look at the Scriptures this morning. May you use the lesson this morning to help us better understand what we believe and defend why we believe it biblically. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Of course, another area of difference between Christians is whether or not someone can lose their salvation after they have received it. And so there's kind of differing views. Of course, our view is once saved, always saved, or eternal security, that once you put your faith in Christ, you can never lose it, no matter what you do or no matter what you think. You cannot lose your salvation. That's our view. We think the Scripture teaches relatively clearly. But there is other views of this. Basically, we're going to talk about two of them today. Now, the truth is, someone who believes you can lose your salvation when they are getting saved could even keep them from getting saved. Let me explain. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, as we see that the Bible teaches it, meaning that in order to come to Christ and receive salvation, I must bring nothing with me. I must not be trusting in any part of myself, right? And so I liken it sometimes to a chair. And if I want to put my faith in a chair, such as this chair here, then I'm going to have to put all of my weight upon it. If I put any floor, all of my weight is not upon the chair. Many people try to get saved by putting some of their weight upon Jesus and some of their weight upon themselves. And so they'll say something like, "Well, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you live a good life, you'll go to heaven." But the problem is, number one, nobody can live a good life. And number two, because of that, the weight that is on myself will collapse and I will not have eternal life. And so we believe salvation is completely trusting in Christ, in Him alone, nothing more and nothing less. So if someone comes to salvation and they believe that they need to believe on the Lord Jesus, and then after they believe, continue to live a life that is worthy of salvation, or they won't be saved, then in reality, they're partially trusting in themselves to get to heaven, not just in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is possible that someone who believes you can lose your salvation, that if they believe that when they're getting or making a profession of faith, that in reality they're not getting saved at all because they are trusting in themselves. But I will say most of the time when someone comes to believe that you can lose your salvation, it happens after the fact. They get saved the same way that you and I did, by realizing they're a sinner deserving of hell, recognizing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again on the third day, and putting their faith and trust in Him alone. Then somewhere along the line, after salvation, someone teaches them or convinces them that they, if they don't keep living a good enough life, that God could, after the fact, reject them. Or if they decide not to believe any longer, that God could take back the gift that He has given them. And so we would count these as false teachings and not helpful to the Christian life, because we think the idea of that unconditional love of the Savior is the best garden to grow in as a Christian. And of course, it's best because it's true. And obviously, that's the most important thing. So where do they get this idea that you can lose your salvation? Well, let's first look at the verse that we're in, John chapter 5 and verse 24, just showing that you cannot lose your salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, notice, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so you see there, I have everlasting life, meaning it can never end. And if I'm given the gift of everlasting life, if it later ends, then I never had everlasting life, all right? And so this is the concept. And it goes further. God makes sure we understand what He's saying. And shall not come into condemnation. Ever is the concept, but is past already is the concept, from death unto life. And so we believe the Bible clearly teaches that salvation is about putting all of our faith and trust in Christ alone and nothing in ourselves. And therefore, because it's totally dependent on Him who is faithful and not on me who is unfaithful, I do not have to wonder or worry about my salvation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We'll look at a few places that someone who believes you can lose your salvation might go to try to make their case from Scripture. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 22. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 22. And the Bible says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so here we find in Matthew 10:22, the Bible says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so they'll say, see, you not only have to believe, you have to endure to the end. The problem here is, that's salvation by grace through faith is not the context here, but rather enduring to the end until Christ comes, and the idea of His second coming, those that are in the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, will have to, of course, make it through that in order to be delivered by Christ, if you will, physically. So it's not talking about salvation itself, but rather about a physical deliverance here. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 in our Bibles. John chapter 15 in Scripture. John chapter 15 and verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And so they say, see, if you don't abide in Christ, you're cast into the fire. And they equate that fire with hell. But that's not what it's saying at all. As a matter of fact, the key word in verse 6 is the word branch here. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. In other words, he's not going to bear fruit. Matter of fact, let's go up and read the whole beginning of this passage, beginning in verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. Notice, men gather them and cast them into the fire. They become useless, worthless, seen as garbage, if you will, not worth anything of value, but to be burned. And they are burned, not burned in hell, but in a sense, burned on earth, meaning they have nothing of value to give to this world. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So again, another passage that we see as being misunderstood to teach that you can lose your salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And so the concept here, as they would teach it, is that it says that your faith in Christ can be in vain. But notice what it says, again, in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received in the past, and wherein ye stand. All right, and so in other words, you're already standing in Christ. There's nothing that can hinder that, but by which also ye are saved. Not saved from eternal hell here, but saved from a worthless life. So this isn't salvation, but sanctification, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Unless that faith in Christ does you no earthly good, is the concept here. This is the idea, is salvaged from a life of ruin, basically, is the concept. And the destruction is not of your eternal soul, but rather of a life that becomes worthless, even though it is saved for eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go there just as a reference to this passage here. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, notice the word should, walk in them. Now, once I get saved, I don't have to yield to the Spirit, but I should. Once I get saved, I don't have to live a life that reflects the fact that I'm bought with a price, that I should glorify God in my body, but I should. Once I get saved, I don't have to, if you will, do what I'm supposed to, but I certainly should do it, and I will answer to God for my life after salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, another passage they might go to. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So basically it's saying that some will depart from the faith, and they would say this is someone losing their salvation. We would say no, rather it's someone who has come to understand the truth, but refuses to accept Christ and instead believes a lie and goes a different direction for salvation. And obviously the text is ambiguous here of which interpretation fits. And so, in essence, we would say, because of the preponderance of evidence in Scripture for salvation by grace through faith and one that is everlasting life and eternal, we should use that to interpret passages like these. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And so they would say, him denying us is saying you can't come into heaven. But obviously, the passage doesn't really say that. And we would say, no, of course, him denying us simply means he will deny us some things, such as rewards in heaven, such as answers to prayer on earth, such as fruit on earth. You say, why? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. If any man abide in me, then he shall bear much fruit. All right? And so that's the concept and idea. The denying here is not of salvation as we see it, but rather as of other things that are important in the Christian life, but not essential. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. And these two passages that we'll look at in Hebrews are probably the most popular, I guess you might say, passages that people will use to try to prove that you can lose your salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, and beginning in verse number 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And so they would say this is someone who got saved and then lost their salvation. But we would say no, it's not saying that. Hebrews is all about the atonement and the value of the atonement. And instead it is saying here that if one could lose your salvation, you would never be able to be saved again because the atonement failed. And the atonement cannot fail. As a matter of fact, that's what it's talking about in the beginning of the passage. Let's look up at verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. They're not bad works, they're good works. The dead works are good works without Christ, all right? From dead works and of faith toward God. So he said, let's go on. Quit, keep rehashing salvation, he says. Salvation is all about God and not about me. Otherwise, I would certainly fall short. Verse number 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, water baptism and spirit baptism is the idea there, and of laying on of hands, and that's anointing, or if you will, ordination, the idea of being sent, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this will we do, if God permit, for it is impossible. In other words, this is the reason you should quit worrying constantly about salvation, he said, because if it were possible for those who were once enlightened, in other words, it's not possible, but if it were possible, they could never get saved again. That's the concept. Why? Because the atonement failed. And notice in verse number 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Look, the burning in life, the potential for burning in judgment is twofold. Number one, there is the potential for a human being to burn in hell for eternity. This is for someone who is without Christ. This is for someone who's never received Christ as their Savior, never believed on the Lord Jesus and Him alone for salvation. But there is a second burning that the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that is at the judgment seat of Christ. That when I go to the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, God will try my works. And any works that were done that were not for Christ and not valued for eternity will be burned up and will, of course, not give rewards. And so that's the concept and idea here as we see it. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 26. Notice, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. This is the concept, all right? This is the whole concept of Hebrews. Much of it is about the atonement. And that is the idea that once the price has been paid, it is completely paid and will never be brought up again. And if it isn't, if it didn't work, then nobody could be saved. That's the idea. Notice, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now here's the key. What he's basically explaining is, if it is possible for any sin to be imputed to me after I'm saved, then all sin would be imputed to me, and I would be judged very harshly, even for one sin. And here's the problem, right? Notice what it says. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now let me just say, there's no Christian that hasn't done that. Every Christian in the world has sinned willfully after they received the knowledge of the truth. What is he saying? He is saying, if that sin could be imputed to my account, there would be no hope. That's basically what he's saying. And that's the whole point of the book of Hebrews. He's not saying you can lose your salvation. He's saying salvation is so sure because no sin will be recorded against me at all. If it could, then the atonement wouldn't work and everyone would lose their salvation. Now, these are some of the passages used to show that some people use to imply that we can lose our salvation from Scripture. On the other hand, there are many verses that we talked about, some that we talked about already, some that we'll go into now, that seem to teach the exact opposite. Let's go back to John chapter 5 again. Can I lose my salvation once I get saved? Well, here's the problem with it. If I could lose my salvation, I would, right? Because I would always sin even after salvation. I hold this treasure in an earthen vessel, my flesh. And just as Paul said, sometimes the things that I would do, I don't do. And sometimes the things that I would not do, those I find myself doing. And so if that's true, that I could lose my salvation, then everybody loses it, and everybody loses it very often. My mom used to tell the story as I was growing up, how when she was a little girl, she went to a church that believed you could lose your salvation. And so, as being a sincere and honest little girl, every single week she went forward to get saved. You say, why? She knew she had messed it up that week, right? The only way you can believe in losing your salvation and think you haven't lost it is to be delusional. Right? That's the only way, okay, is to believe that that you can lose your salvation and still think you haven't lost it is to be deluded. And I think that's pretty clear. For the Bible says if we break the law in one point, we are guilty of all. John chapter 5 and verse 24. We've already looked at this, but we'll look at it again here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, life that lasts forever. In other words, if he gives me everlasting life as a free gift, unconditionally, when I believe on him, then how in the world could I ever die? If I ever die spiritually in hell, then I never had everlasting life. It's not possible. And shall not come into condemnation. The idea is ever. I won't be condemned. You say, why? Because when I'm a Christian and I sin against God, which I will do, the Bible says it's not imputed unto me, it's imputed unto Christ. Because he died for my sins, past, present, and future. And so it is not imputed against me. Oh, I may face the consequences for it on earth, but I will not face the eternal judgment of it in hell. And that's the concept. But it's passed from death unto life. Already passed. That's the idea. And that's the idea all through Scripture. John chapter 6 and verse 37. John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came not down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so notice he says, everyone that cometh unto me, I will lose none. All right? Never. There's not one that has come unto him and he has received that then, whoops, he slipped through my fingers. That one got away. That never happens. It's impossible. All right? You say, why? Because salvation isn't about me. That's why. Because salvation is about Christ, and he never fails. And I may fail him. I do fail him on a regular basis, but he never fails me. John chapter 10 and verse 27. John chapter 10 and verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, once again, eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, including themselves, pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Salvation is sure. Once I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a one-time event. It's called being born again in the Bible. You say, why? Why is the illustration used to be born again? To illustrate that it is a one-time event that happens that has eternal results. And notice this. There's no such thing as being unborn. When you've been born, you can die, but you can't be unborn. And so when you've been born again into eternal life, you can't die. There's no such thing as being unborn. And so you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible uses words like saved. Now let me just say, once you're saved from a peril, you can never be in that peril again. It's impossible. Now someone might say, well, you could get saved from drowning and then drown again. Yes, you could. But you couldn't get saved from drowning and then drown again on the same day, at the same time, in the same body of water, with the same molecules of water around you, in the same clothes, in the same exact event. It's not possible. And so when I am saved from my sins, from the punishment of my sin for eternity, there is no way I can ever end up in that peril again, else I was never saved, right? Imagine, you know, it's like someone picks you up out of the water and you're right above the water getting saved from drowning, and then they let you go, and all of a sudden you drown in the same spot that you were just about to be saved from. No, of course, that's not what happens at salvation. Once I'm saved, I can never be in that peril again. Once I'm washed, I can never have that same exact dirt on me again. Well, it's just not possible. It's not possible that if I wash myself one time, that I end up shortly thereafter in the same exact molecules of dirt on me. It's not possible, all right? But that's what I'd have to do if I lost my salvation. What would have to happen if I lost my salvation is I would go to God for salvation. He'd forgive me for all of my past, present, and future sins. And then later on down the road, I'd have to be guilty of all those same exact sins He washed me from before. That is not possible. It is not possible. And so that's the concept here. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10 in our Bible. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and shalt live a good life afterwards. No, it doesn't say that. And shalt keep having the right approach and attitude. Doesn't say that. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so once I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved. It's like the Bible says, we're purchased, right? Well, in this modern age, we can really understand these concepts because we understand that every molecule of dirt is different. We understand that every grouping of water, there's different things in that. You're never in the same situation. And we can understand the idea of purchased in a much better way than maybe they could even when the Bible was written. Because when we purchase something nowadays, we get a receipt and it has a date stamp on it, a time stamp on it. It's got all this information on it. And let me just say, if you go to Walmart and you purchase something, you can never unpurchase it. Now, you can take it back because that's allowed under these situations, but that doesn't mean you never purchased it. And so the idea and the concept is, well, I'm taking back my salvation, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want it anymore. Here's the problem. It's already been purchased, and there's nothing that can change that. It cannot be unpurchased, and God does not have a return policy allowing it anywhere in Scripture. And so that's the concept. Acts chapter 16 in our Bible. Now, I think that this is the best, way to view things because it's true. But I also think it's the best way to view things because it makes sense. It's that garden of grace allowing me to grow in the Lord, and He absorbs my stumbles. Well, always I'm pushing to do better. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Let's look at verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's the answer. Nothing more, nothing less. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying here. I am not saying that as a Christian, once I've been saved, that I should view it as, well, I can live any way I want after I've got saved. Because that would be a person of who lacked integrity. That would be a person who was just not a man of their word, a man of honor, a man of integrity, a man of decency. Because the Bible says, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So the Christian should view it as, I'm Christ, and I should live my life for him. That's what an honest person, a sincere person, a person of integrity will strive to do. But I am saying that God is so good to us that he will allow us to come to Christ and give us salvation, even though we will mistreat it afterwards. He will still keep his word and give it to us for eternity. It's like a parent giving a gift to their child for Christmas or something along those lines and having it conditional. Well, I'm giving this to you so long as you treat it the way it's supposed to be treated. Here's the problem. That's never going to happen. All right? The person you give a gift to will never appreciate it the way you appreciate it by giving it. Never. You say, why? Because they didn't spend their hard-earned money on it. Because they didn't think about it in order to give it to you. Because they don't see the full big picture of it. And so, of course, this is just not possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so see, we're bought, we're purchased, we're redeemed, we're saved, we're born again. All of these terms help us understand this is a one-time transaction. All right? Now, there's two different ways people view that you can lose your salvation. We might even count them as brothers and sisters in Christ, but there's two different ways that they might view it. One is by sinning, that you can sin bad enough where God takes back what he gave you. And the other is by just desiring not to have it anymore and kind of giving it back to God through unbelief. So you believe to get it, and when you decide you don't want it anymore, you give it back through unbelief. And we'll get into next week the details of why neither of these make biblical sense, and deal with kind of the passages that refute them. And then we'll probably have one more week on this and then finish up and move on to the next subject.